Hello and welcome to Dom Tristram's Soapbox, an independent podcast covering social and environmental justice. In our last episode, I went to the first Solidarity for Greta vigil in Bath, which took place in October 2018. This vigil has been repeated every week, with another on Saturdays, and the number of people involved has been steadily growing. Extinction Rebellion is now quite a large and dynamic movement. The school strikes inspired by Greta Thunberg have spread and now take place around the world. Today, the 15th of February, was the first nationally coordinated school strike for climate action in the UK. Schoolchildren around the country walked out to take part in protests and vigils, with organisers claiming more than 10,000 took part. The largest protest was in London, where about 3,000 children participated, with other large gatherings in Oxford, Exeter, Leeds, Brighton, Bristol, Sheffield and Glasgow. Being close to Bristol, many children from Bath opted to attend the larger demonstration there, but a good number came to the Guildhall for a lively demonstration in the city. I went along to take part and to talk to the people.
I've come here to cause awareness for climate change because it's been ignored for too many years and it's coming on very quick. In 12 years, we might not know where we're at and there's no planet B, so act now.
And are you guys here from a school? Yes, Ralph Allen, right?
Yeah, we're from Ralph Allen.
And are you here as a group of friends?
We're a group of friends, but some other people have come who we've met as well.
Okay, cool. And Ralph Allen, are kids kind of talking about this as a thing, or is it?
It's not really that popular. Not many people have come, but we've decided to come.
Oh, good on you. Because it is important, isn't it? And yeah. Have any teachers said anything about it? I mean, is it something they've kind of talked about or said don't go or do go? Or?
Well, when we had to leave class to go, some teachers were a bit hesitant to let us go, but we sort of just said, well, climate's more important than one lesson, so...
They can't really argue with that, can they?
No.
Are you from any particular school? Or?
Yeah, we're from Prior Park College.
Excellent. And are you here as a group of friends or as a group of people who...
A group of sixth formers who just were really passionate about climate change.
Excellent. And if what would you say the awareness of the issue was like at your school? Is it something that people talk about?
At our school, we do have like several assemblies and like things talking about it, but not enough. Like, I think people need to hear about it more. Like, it's a real problem.
Something like the strike is radical enough that people from the streets will be able to hear, and it's not just, you feel like you're not just doing it for your school, but actually the public is now being made aware as well. So this is a great opportunity to make sure that more people are being aware and you feel like you're actually taking a step forward in something that is a serious, crucial problem to what we're doing to the world, really.
Like, even today it's really sunny and like it's boiling, and it was snowing like 2 weeks ago. It just shows like the extent to this is happening.
Yeah. I'm the head of like our school's eco committee. So yeah, this year we're like bigger than ever, and yesterday we had a meeting with like all the heads of our school. And so hopefully we're getting progress.
So you say the school has an eco committee. Is this like a student sort of?
Says about 12 of us. And yeah, I think our generation is much more engaged politically. And I think just in the last couple of years, everyone's really taking action, getting aware about these kind of issues. And like, this is the first time in the history of like our school, probably our city, that students are going out on strike. Like, we haven't seen this for so long. And yeah, this is big. It's massive.
And are your school aware that you're here, and do you have their blessing, or have you decided to...
Definitely. They couldn't really keep us away. So we've got their grudging blessing, I think. Yeah. But yeah, we're allowed to be here.
Great. And if there was one thing that happened, I mean, let's say the council, if you could talk to the council, who obviously make decisions about local things, if you could ask them to do, I don't know, one thing, what would that be, do you think?
I think it's a matter of priorities, and just, you know, we're so bogged down in just little tiny changes. We need to be thinking bigger, prioritising eco matters wherever possible. So I know there's a lot of transport issues in Bath. We're one of the most polluted like cities. Some of the roads, like London Road, it's absolutely awful. And there's so much more that can be done.
All right. Thanks very much, guys.
I'm Jess, and we're here because we hope that the party will listen to us now, because we've taken it a little bit more seriously today of all days.
Yeah, and I'm Imogen, and we're just out, everyone here is just from local schools. It's a national strike.
Yeah,
it was started by
a Swedish girl, Greta.
Yeah.
Yes, she did the TED Talk, and then she had the protest before, and she kind of argued that climate change was such an issue that we should really panic.
Yeah. It's rather a really serious issue, which the government just really aren't taking that seriously, we find, and we're just trying to encourage them to, you know, take action now. We can't wait any longer. We need to do it.
Yeah.
Effective immediately.
Yeah. We should now. Now is the panic. We shouldn't prepare for, like, the house to be on fire, because the house is on fire.
Yeah,
we need
exactly.
to take action now.
Yeah.
And what would you say was the feeling amongst your friends and stuff? And are people kind of concerned but not concerned enough to come down here like everyone else, or would you say there's people who don't care at all?
I would say that everyone does care about it was just a lot of people just couldn't make it, and then some I don't think quite understood that it was actually a sort of understood what it was, really, like it was a protest. But yeah, I think everyone, I think it's a sort of neutral thing. Everyone from my age group, like teenagers nowadays, we worry about these, we do.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about them too much, but they are a serious, serious issue for our generations and our future generations, for our children.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I think we all do really, really worry and are concerned about it.
Because my feeling is I'm getting on a bit now, but I mean, I think things are getting better. Now, you don't get many young people who don't believe in it at all, but I guess it's just the urgency of getting something done before all those people can filter through to being in charge, you know, because one day you'll all be in charge of everything. But I'm not sure the world has that long, so it's all about convincing older people like me, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I've seen a few signs here, and obviously I'm not a scientist, so I don't know the specifics, but I've seen this repeated phrase, 12 years.
Mm.
Like, we only have 12 years, and the people who are signing some of the petitions are only just over the age of 12.
Yeah.
So that's when you really...
It's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary to think about.
I know. When you really take a step back and look at it, it's now or never.
Yeah.
Well, even older people, I mean, I've got small children, and I'm worried that by the time they're your age, what's the world going to be like? That'll be beyond that 12 years. That would be, it's a bit of a worry, really, in all sorts of ways.
Yeah.
But it is. No, you're absolutely right. No, it is a serious issue, which we need to tackle, you know, quickly, you know.
Yeah, like, we're from Rath Valley.
We didn't exactly, like, plan to come. It's just, like, a lot of people were talking about it, like, online.
And we thought it was just
we were just kind of, obviously we don't really want global warming because...
And are people, are the kids at Ralph Allen talking about it? I mean, is it something that people are talking about a lot?
A lot of people skip school to go to the one in Bristol because it was obviously bigger,
exactly.
But our parents wouldn't really let us go to Bristol, so...
Well, and that's a bit more of a trek, isn't it? I mean, this one was organised quite quickly, I think, like a couple of days ago.
Yeah, it's not such a big event, but
And are the teachers aware of it? Are you here with permission or without permission?
We have our parents' permission, and basically, right, we were talking about it, and then she just kind of came up to me and she was like, oh yeah, the teachers can't stop us. And then we asked the teachers and they were like, we can't physically stop you, so we just left.
I think they did agree with the course too.
Yeah,
some head teachers have been pretty good actually, and they can't officially say, oh, you can go, but they can kind of...
I think we truly want to make a bigger awareness of it, and we want the schools and the government to do more about it in general. So just, making the public more aware that we want a change. And it's our future.
And are you guys here from a school or which?
We're from Haysfield, all girls school. Yeah.
And in Haysfield, is it kind of something that kids are talking about, or is it something that you guys are particularly aware of and decided to come down?
Well, wasn't talked about much at all. The school weren't very, like, they didn't say much about it, which is a bit weird, but yeah, we came anyway.
And everyone, are you all friends, or is this something you've just sort of met at? You're a group of friends. Does anyone else want to say why they've decided to come down?
I decided to come because we need to make people aware that the world is going to get worse and worse, and we need to do something about it.
Because it is our generation that will be, like, affected, and there's no, like, plan to be.
Exactly. Lots of old people like me, and you know, just making up the rules, and you guys have to live with it, which is that's politics all over, though, isn't it? In many ways.
Well, it's our future, so we should get a say.
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, it's like our future, and so no one else should get a say, like, what our future should be. So we should choose how our world should be when we're like old enough to have a say in what happens.
Did you hear about this and then meet as a group about this, or did you know each other anyway?
We're a group of friends, but we all support the same idea. We're all very passionate about climate change and we don't want it to continue like this.
Ooh. And are your teachers aware that you're here?
Yeah, and schools, like, they've really supported
yeah,
us.
Yeah, our school's very much in support of it.
Yeah, we've heard really good things about KES, actually.
Yeah, we had a youth climate summit on Monday, which was a load of schools meeting up to discuss problems and have a load of speakers talk. And then we shared this around on Facebook and Instagram and stuff to get as many people who are interested involved as possible.
I'm Julian Caldecott, and I'm here because I spent the last 40 years travelling around the world working on environmental biodiversity and rainforest conservation issues, and I've witnessed the steady and rapid deterioration of the world's environment, the whole fabric of life, and been trying to blow the whistle on it for a long time, and I'm very pleased to see some response from the people finally, and this is why I'm here, to show a bit of support for that.
It's great, isn't it? Because there's loads of young people here. I mean, there's more all the time. This seems to be growing.
I think it's because climate change and the general collapse of the fabric of life is kind of, it's real and it's there and it's being covered all the time. It's just a question of us joining up the dots and explaining or making it clear how this anxiety can be turned into something more positive. Because there are some big problems and the current party political system seems incapable of solving them, so we kind of have to move it along, and in fact the entire international aid bureaucratic system is just glued, stuck, and needs to be unglued, and the only way I think I can imagine doing that is through popular pressure all over the world.
Well, this is what's happening now. I mean, this is and you've got a very good picture here. If you could describe to the people listening, because obviously they can't see it.
Here we have a painting of Greta Thunberg, painted by my niece over in France, in the style of a medieval religious icon on the grounds. People respond quite well to inspiring young women who are completely committed, so she's our Joan of Arc, in effect.
And she's great, isn't she? I mean, some of the speeches she's done at the UN and all that.
She has total balls.
Yeah. and is suffering a lot of abuse, actually, a surprising amount of abuse from people, and is coping with it very well. You know, it's she's very mature for her years and very dedicated.
She's very cool, and the right wing will always attack anybody who seems to be succeeding in this sort of endeavour. But she can handle it. She's strong.
Yeah. Excellent. And I guess if there's one message that the younger people here can learn from her, it's that actually standing up and making a stand and the strikes from school actually really do make a difference, because here they are in large numbers.
Absolutely, all over the country, all over the world actually. It adds up, and although the governing elites in most countries are very sluggish and resistant to change, they are responsive to some extent, and we can build up the pressure, and eventually they will have to concede major changes, and we need to get that, keep up the pressure and keep those changes snowballing into real transformation.
I've been a member of the Green Party since the 1970s, always concerned about fossil fuels, about food security, about all those kinds of issues. And over those decades, so little has happened. I've been on a lot of demonstrations like this, but now it's got a special bite for me, because I've recently had my first grandson, born in 2018. We have all this research that says 50% of babies born at the moment will live to be 100. What is the planet going to be like in 21,018 on his 100th birthday? I just worry so much about what the future holds for him. So I have to be here. I have to be making my voice heard. I have to be another person, because every single person, every placard counts.
And it's good to see so many young people here, isn't it?
It's good to see so many young people here. And I made the real effort to come today, because they must be supported.
Yeah. and it's good to see. It's important the young people are enthused about this sort of thing, because obviously, well, I mean, it's important anyway, they've got more energy than we have, right? But also,
speak for yourself.
But it's their world, you know. It's the world.
It's their future. Yeah, yeah. Because these people are, in terms of decades, they're only a little bit older than my grandson. They're maybe 15, 16, 17 years older, but they're looking to live to the end of this century. And we've got dreadful climate change predictions for 2050, let alone the end of the century when they're still alive.
Jonathan Oakes, I'm a local writer, researcher and teacher, Green Party member, amongst other things. I've been working on these matters, and I'm actually currently producing a media project on these matters for some time. I'm extremely moved. That's the word I would start with. Today is a quite extraordinary thing when you pause and think about it. That the youth of our country, as is happening around the world, has come forward to effect the changes that are required because the adults have failed so far to do so. That is extraordinary. The youth are coming out to try and get done what needs to be done. So I feel a variety of things. I am myself encouraged in my work, but I of course feel very protective of them. And I do believe it's not an exaggeration to say they are fighting for their lives.
Absolutely. I mean, there's all sorts of things going on, and I've talked to a few people here today about, it's not only the climate, of course, there's the collapse in insect numbers, which is obviously to do with the climate, but that's more about pesticides as well as climate change. So there's a whole number of things which are all coming together in this awful
sort of environmental breakdown.
Yeah, and there's so many things, and there's the plastics, there's everything seems to be coming to a head at about the same time.
Yes, yeah. And I'd add to that, actually, as you can probably hear, they're in fine voice, and one of the things they've been chanting is system change, not climate change. So yes, climate change is it's environmental breakdown rather than just climate change, which is an element in environmental breakdown. But the important point here is system change. People need to understand, and I think are beginning to feel what it means. They need to understand what the systems are that we live in, what they are institutionally and what they are physically. And they are all social constructions, social structures that can be changed. They can be changed rapidly. Existing technologies, not much vaunted and promoted, I think sometimes dishonestly, non-existent technologies like carbon capture and storage at scale. Existing technologies, for example, just to look at energy generation, wind power, renewables, these are proven existing technologies that now, even commercially, make fossil fuels look ridiculous.
Well, I think the thing that bothers me is that everyone rational knows that this is a problem. And yet there are people who will say, they'll say, oh yes, I know that climate change is a massive problem. I know that any sort of other environmental problem, you know, and they'll do nothing.
Yes.
And I think that is a worse position than somebody who's actually a climate change denier who genuinely believes that it's not a problem. I mean, they're wrong, but actually there's very few of those.
Well, it's more upsetting from the point of view that you feel they are somebody who should be pushing behind the right.
Exactly. If they know it's a problem, and yet they are making decisions that either ignores or makes it worse.
I agree, but I also think political change has probably always been like that, at least in recent history. And what we're seeing now is a broadening of the active elements in society. And I do believe that the majority of the British public's hearts are in a good place, in the right place. And we need to get over that tipping point, that threshold, where it becomes impossible for those in authority not to do the right thing. The trick is, of course, it has to happen within 12 to 24 months.
Yes, that's the challenge, isn't it? And if you had one message, let's say you had a minute and you had a minute to address the council here in Baines,
yes,
and without interruption, yeah, and they would just listen to what you were going to say, yeah, what would you use that minute to say?
Well, I am actually considering
me too
that task, because I am slated to speak. So I haven't got there yet, and it may change, because this is a very dynamic matter, social struggles often are. I think probably I would emphasise, from a moral position, what it means morally to not be doing the right thing in a position of responsibility at the moment. And if you look at the structure we live in, there's an arrow of injustice which goes from the top of the class system to the bottom, and there is also an arrow of injustice which goes from the old to the young. And we need to deal with both those injustices quickly. That is why I think there is a hope we can do it, because a lot of people who have been suffering awfully under this system stand to win very quickly a much, much improved, better life along with everyone else, not to mention human survival.
That was just quite an important aspect.
Yes, but people will quickly point out, a homeless man approached me several weeks ago when I was protesting here, which we do every Friday and Saturday lunchtime, and said, I don't mind climate change, I sleep under the stars, I could do with it being a bit warmer. There are too many people in a position where all they can think about is their own survival right now. Yes. Time to sort all those problems out.
There's no pronto. Social justice without environmental justice, and
yes,
vice versa.
And I would agree. Youngsters are an essential part of the social struggle that's taking place. And they are supporting us, we are supporting them. And part of the support we can give them is to make them aware that change happens in a certain way, not to be discouraged, not to be too impatient, but to be disciplined, sustained, and refuse to let it go, refuse to believe that they can be beaten, and they'll win.
Well, I've come down with my daughter, Jasmine. We just heard about it, like, in the last couple of days, and heard that there was going to be one in Bath. So just thought it'd be really good to come down and support, really, and show our support. Because we really want something to happen. We really want governments to listen to what people are saying. And really, I suppose what I want is, I want the clever people to be listened to. The clever people that have already designed ways of creating power without burning fossil fuels.
I guess the thing that worries me when it comes to politicians listening is, we live in an age where politicians say things like, we've had enough of experts. And there are the experts saying, you've got to do something.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's really serious. And at the same time,
how can you have enough of experts? I mean, that's what they're for.
Well, I mean,
that
is a ridiculous statement in itself, yeah, isn't it? But that's the way we are. And people seem to sort of accept, well, not everyone, of course.
No.
Some people seem to just accept that.
Yeah.
And then you get stories like, you know, a third of all insects have died, you know, since whenever it was, 1960. And you think, that's really serious. And,
yeah,
you know, and people sort of mention it. And I don't personally know anyone who doesn't believe it.
Yes,
but they
exactly
just sort of go, oh,
what can I do about it? I think that's how the general public feel. They just feel like, what can I do, you know? It just needs to become a way of life. I think that's what needs to be put into place. Processes that just become a way of life for the general public, so that it's not an option or a choice anymore, it's just how things are done.
It feels like there's the knowledge there.
Yes.
Like all these things, whether it's climate change or plastics, or like the people who know these things are there.
It's, yeah, there's, and all the data and the research and everything.
And they're screaming like, oh, come
and
on.
And now we just need someone to make some laws.
Yeah. But the trouble is, the people in charge, and I hate to say this because, you know, I'm in politics, a lot of them don't listen. All they really care about is if it's in a safe seat, they'll go, well, the people who vote for me will always vote for me.
Well, they just, no one's acting quickly enough. Just make some bloody laws, goddammit, you know? Like, most of the country are behind you, and if they're not now, they will be eventually. I mean, you know, when they brought out the smoking ban, I was a smoker, and I was really gutted about that, but I soon got used to it.
There is, I think there's always resistance. When things change, there'll be a few people complain. It's like the clean air zone in Bath. The amount of fuss and bother you get from people going, oh, it's awful, I won't be able to drive my 4x4 through town. You think,
get over it.
They'll get over it. Because actually, once you can't drive through town, they'll just...
They'll drive to the edge of town, park the 4x4.
Well, maybe, or they'll sell their enormous 4x4, you know.
Or get a bus, or
I think the criticism a lot of people give for things like that is it's going to hurt the poor the most. But actually, it's not going to, because the poorest don't have cars, generally.
Yeah, they're already using the bus.
Exactly. It's tricky, but I think it's the climate has come to the point where now something's going to happen.
Well, it is an emergency. You know, we do need change, but we need it on like a massive scale.
I'm not going to pretend to know everything about the politics. I just know that the way that everything is going at the moment, the climate is not doing very well, and that's not going to help us. So something needs to happen about it, and it needs to happen now before it's too late.
I mean, I don't think anyone should ever apologise for not knowing about the politics, because politics, and I say this as somebody in politics, is very tedious and full of all sorts of daft conventions and rules that people shouldn't really have to care about. But which school did you come from today?
St Lawrence in Bradford
Haven. Oh, okay, so not super local, a little way away. And it's interesting actually, because some of the kids here I've been talking to, their schools have been really supportive, and the heads have gone, oh, you should go down to this.
I'm surprised they haven't organised it in coach.
Well, and this is only organised in sort of 2 days or 3 days. But some have gone to Bristol, I think, because it's a bigger thing in Bristol.
Some of the people I know have gone to Bristol.
But would you say that amongst your friends there's a general awareness, and how it's a difficult thing to judge, but how concerned do you think people are on average at school?
Amongst my friends, very concerned. Right. Amongst other groups, kind of just aware of it, but as far as I can tell, their first opinion is just kind of like, oh, let other people deal with it.
Right. I think one of the tricky things, well, one of the good things actually, is younger people are generalising massively. Everyone tends to believe it's a problem.
Yeah.
Like, there's very few climate change deniers. But it's just somebody else needs to do it.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle.
Whereas that is an improvement in a way, because my age, there's lots of people who don't believe it at all, and then also the people who think somebody else should deal with it.
Yeah.
So, you know, things are improving.
Yeah, definitely.
And do you think it would be good for schools to actually make, let's not exactly the curriculum, but like encourage pupils to do this sort of thing more?
Yes.
I mean it might be awkward for them to do it in school time, but like, say there's a protest like tomorrow, for example, here. Do you think schools should be saying to their pupils at assembly, there's a march tomorrow, you should probably that'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. And like you were saying about the recycling at school and stuff as well, they need to be putting all that in the house, don't they?
Yeah.
Or do it as like a school trip, I don't know, like geography, like get everyone to come down. And
then you can do it as an educational experience as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Even better.
Okay. Have to peacefully protest.
I mean, in some ways, I mean, and again, this is going back to being a politician, there is a lack of awareness of how politics works and how elections work and how even who represents you. And I think that should be covered in schools, because it's not right that people don't necessarily know how it all works. But you could combine that with something a bit more exciting, because politics is really dry and boring. But if you could combine that with, and it's important that you say to your councillors what you think, because they're the guys who decide what gets recycled, and they're the guys who decide that, you know, actually we won't let air pollution get too bad. So
I think we've come so far to actually get the vote, we may as well use it.
Exactly. And you know, I'm always very saddened when I talk to people who don't vote.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's one thing if you're too young, you can't help that.
I want to vote.
But there are people who are old enough and don't vote, or never vote.
They just feel like it doesn't make any difference. Yeah. They just feel like, what's the point?
And, I mean, you could go into a very boring thing about electoral reform, but the nice thing about local elections is it always counts, because elections are swung by sort of 10, 20 votes.
Yeah.
So it's always worth voting, always, I would say, but especially in local elections.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say that to...
Well, actually, I always vote Green Party, because I just, you know, that's who I would like to see in power. But I know a lot of people that believe in the Green Party end up voting for Labour or they don't want the Conservatives in, and they think, you know, there's a better chance of the Conservatives not getting in if they vote for Labour. So I think,
well, that suits Labour very well in local elections, but it's generally not true because, as I say, all the parties,
I think everyone should just
vote very
they
close.
Actually want in power, and then let's just, you know,
because they'll take it. This is the problem with. And I'm going to try and slightly move it away from the environment because obviously that's good for Greens. But like, so if you're talking about something like Brexit, if you vote for a party that didn't disagree with Brexit, then that, they take that vote as meaning, oh, you wanted to Brexit then. And I know lots of people, and I'm trying not to be too political here, lots of people who voted for Labour because they kind of suggested they might be against Brexit. And then Labour came out and said, oh, well, you voted for Brexit party. Anyway, so I always say it's always worth voting for what you actually think.
Yeah.
Because
absolutely,
then
I
you can stand
too.
Up and be counted,
well,
and you might not win.
At least then your count has gone towards what you actually wanted to go towards. And then the other parties can see how many people think that way and start changing. You know, if they want the votes, well, they better start changing what they're saying as well.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, this whole thing, I mean, the climate emergency petition in the council, Bristol, the first place to do it, it's because of the little Green Party councillors who raised it, you know, and the other parties don't want to lose votes to them.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I know that in my friendship group, everyone has very strong opinions about everything. And like,
good.
Yeah. But that we all kind of felt like we should at least got a vote so that they were aware of what we wanted, whether or not that affected any of the actual results, just that they knew what the younger generation considered.
I would not say to anyone, even if they didn't want to vote for me or anything I believed in, we should always vote for what we want, because that's what swings the other parties round to thinking that way. So your chosen party might not win, but the other parties will look at it and go, oh, lots of people voted for...
Could have got another 13% if we were anti-fracking.
And that's how it changed, and that's what's actually happened to a large extent. I mean, last time I stood in general elections 2015, we were the only party against fracking, and now the Labour's are against fracking because they want our votes, you know. So but that's how it works, and that's, I don't think that's a bad thing, because it means everyone shifts
thing.
To what I want.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and actually, as long as we all get to
I'm not in this for power. I'm in this to change, to fix the world.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So, and that, if everyone was in politics about reason, that'd be good.
Yeah, it would. I think most people go into politics thinking that, don't they? They maybe start off at a young age thinking, oh, I want to, you know.
That's a more generous view than I'd have. There's lots of people who are in safe seats and never have to bother doing anything.
Yeah.
And they just take the money, you know.
Yeah. But just like having a bit of power.
Yeah, but I think younger people coming in tend to be a little bit less cynical and a bit kind of more involved. Not all of them, but some of them. But I mean, that's how these things get improved, by young people starting to, like, lots of do care, but more voting, you know, more doing stuff and getting involved.
And I think, you know, we need more facts as well. There should be some kind of unbiased ombudsman or something that only allows factual information to be.
This is slightly going off the environment now, but it bothers me that you are allowed to lie in elections.
Yeah.
And there's no rule against it. I mean, you can't lie about what somebody else said, but you can just lie.
Just lie. Yeah.
So I mean, that's mad. So you can. So I could print a load of leaflets saying, I don't know anything really.
Yeah.
You know, something awful.
Make all water free.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then
just lie.
You can win and go, actually, no. Well, not only was that a lie, but I'm not going to do anything about it.
That's wrong, isn't it?
A bit disturbing in many ways.
And we were talking about the false advertising with McDonald's the other day. So why are they allowed to advertise that?
I mean, funny enough, there's actually more controls on advertising than there are on political parties.
Yeah.
And it's much stricter, so, I mean, it's still not strict enough.
Yeah, because they were just showing images at the same time as saying something. It wasn't actually saying... This is a fact.
They know their way around all the rules.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of implied.
Yeah.
Climate action is so important. I think in the last few years we have not taken it seriously enough as a country globally. The IPCC report that we had a few months ago, I think, has sort of re-energized the campaign and we have understood how urgent it is that we take action. So this is the future of these young people. That they're taking it seriously is great, but our generation has got a responsibility to start delivering on climate action as well. So I'm glad that young people are here calling us and our generation to action. We've got to do something. We've got to do something very, very urgently.
When I turned the corner towards the Guildhall and saw this massive protest with school children today, it actually brought tears to my eyes. I had to stop and take a photograph. And what it's all about is pressuring the council, the local Bath and North East Somerset Council, to pass a measure on March 14th calling for a climate emergency, declare a climate emergency, and prioritize work towards attacking climate change. And that's going to take change throughout the council in everything that's done. It would affect planning permissions, it will affect transport policies, it will affect even education and curriculum priorities. So it's going to mean thoroughgoing change, and I'm circulating a petition calling for that. Now, we need to have 1,200 signatures by the 14th of March, which is the date of that council meeting. And this petition is online. It's called Climate Emergency Petition to Bath and Northeast Somerset Council. If you Google Climate Emergency Petition to Bath and Northeast Somerset Council, you will find the petition. It's called a Go Petition, and you can sign it there. But even more importantly, or equally importantly at least, is to share it, because at the moment we've only got about 900 signatures, and they have to be valid Bath and Northeast Somerset Council signatures. If you live in Swindon, if you live in Bristol, I'm sorry, friends, don't sign. It has to be Bath and Northeast Somerset Council signatures to count. But please do sign.